I will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding, and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. On today's show, we have two guests. We have Tony Pearson, a 1978 Mr. America winner and one of the top pros in the IFBB during the 1990s. And we also have my friend Phil Williams, who was the 1985 MPC Nationals winner and also the winner of the 1988 Chicago Pro Show. So Tony and Phil are going to come on the show and talk together about George Turner, who was the famous gym owner from St. Louis. And both Tony and Phil trained there when they were young. And George really helped both these guys to show them how to train hard and really establish their base when they got their career started. So George, if you have seen some of our interviews with Phil before, George was a very eccentric and very old school gym owner, and he was a real character. So we've got a really funny interview coming up in a minute with Tony Pearson and Phil Williams. You guys are going to love this one. Before we get to that, I wanted to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. They have offices all over the United States, but they can work with anybody in the continental United States just through their website. Tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they'll give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. All right, so what else is going on? We are now in the middle of February. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last week, they did it. They won the Super Bowl, first time ever that a Super Bowl team played at home. And, man, they killed the Kansas City Chiefs. It wasn't even a contest. They wiped them out. So congratulations to Tom Brady in his 40s, coming back and starting with a new team and winning the Super Bowl. That was really, really awesome to see. I did an interview with RX Muscle this week. It is available right now if you go on the YouTube channel for RX Muscle. I did an interview with Dave Palumbo about the 1971 NAVA Mr. Universe that Bill Pearl won, and he beat out, of course, Sergio Oliva in that contest. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was supposed to be in the show, but that's when the IFBB started a new rule stating that if you were an IFBB pro, you could not compete in any other organization, so Arnold was not allowed to go in it. And then the following week, they had the 1971 Mr. Olympia, and Arnold won unopposed because Sergio was suspended for competing in the Mr. Olympia. So that was the year that could have been. We could have seen Arnold versus Sergio and Bill Pearl at the NAVA Universe. And, of course, we also could have seen Sergio and Arnold at the Mr. Olympia, and it was not to be. So we are still wondering all these years later, 50 years later, whether Arnold and Bill Pearl, what that epic showdown would have been like. So I did a little short video with Dave Palumbo. Again, that's on RX Muscle. Let's see, what else? So we got some emails, finally. Haven't had some emails from anybody for a while, so if you guys are interested in emailing me about the show, you can just email me at naturalolympia@gmail.com. John Hartman sent us an email from last week's show with Mike Sable, and he said, "Hey, John, another great podcast. Mike Sable not only entertained me with his amazing stories, his enthusiasm for fitness and well-being is also very motivating." Yeah, Mike was a great guest. Very, very motivating. You can tell this guy lives the sport of bodybuilding. He's got so much passion. I got another email here from Rex. Rex said, "Hey, John, you know, the Mike Ashley versus Sean Ray situation is a very sore point with Mike Ashley. I saw Mike talk about it somewhere on the internet. Ashley's point is that if the disqualification occurred promptly, Sean would not have won and Mike would have been first place. I can't recall if Mike went on to say if Sean was disqualified, he wouldn't even been allowed to step on the stage at all, or if that would have been the outcome if the test came back sooner than they did. Mike sees it as he won it and not Sean won it and also got disqualified, and then they gave it to second place Mike. Your thoughts? Also, if I may ask, who are you currently trying to reach out to try to get interviews with? I don't mind sending out a fan email to one or more of them to help you land them on your show. Just let me know. Rex. About Sean Ray and Mike Ashley. Yeah, I agree with Mike Ashley. He did kind of get screwed. That was the first year that the IFBB, well, the first and only year that the IFBB decided to do drug testing. And as I mentioned on our show with Jerry Branum that was on last week or 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the year 1990 in review. The IFBB decided to test the two biggest professional shows, which was the Arnold Classic, which was in its second year only because it started in 89, and also, of course, the Mr. Olympia. They also were going to test the MPC shows where you could get a pro card. And at the time, the only MPC shows where you could get a pro card was the MPC Nationals, which was all four weight class winners, the lightweight, middleweight, light, heavy, and heavy. If you won your class at the Nationals, you automatically got a pro card in 1990. Also, the overall winners of the MPC USA Championships and the IFBB North America Championships. If you won the overall on either one of those shows, you would also get your pro card. So they drug tested all three of those shows, and they also drug tested the Arnold Classic and the Mr. Olympia. Unfortunately, at the Arnold Classic, they didn't have the testing procedures down right. They tested them right before they competed. And then, of course, Sean Ray ended up failing the test the next week. So they didn't know the results until the next week. And then they had to disqualify Sean. Sean had to give back the $60,000 of prize money. He also had to give back the trophy, the Arnold Classic trophy. And then Mike Ashley won because Mike was in second place. So it was really a hollow victory because Mike was never celebrated on the stage. He was never shown on TV. It was shown on TV that year. So Mike didn't get that glory either. So it really was unfortunate. And then by the time they got to the Mr. Olympia later that year, they fixed the problem. They did the testing earlier in the week. I think they did it on Tuesday. So they knew the results by Friday. And then anyone who failed the test was not allowed to compete in the show on Saturday. And I think they had six failures in that contest, or five or six. So, yeah, unfortunately, Mike actually was not allowed the honor or the glory, I guess, of winning the contest on stage. He still won the contest. He's still recognized as the second Arnold Classic champion. But, yeah, he really did kind of get ripped off. But it wasn't Sean Ray's fault. It was nobody's fault except the IFBB because they didn't have the testing procedure down right. Who am I trying to reach out with to get interviews with? Well, I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about Rick Wayne. I've been trying to get Rick Wayne forever. And I just saw on Facebook before we started this recording that Rick just wrote a book about politics, which is, in addition to bodybuilding, that's Rick's real passion. And it might have been about the politics in St. Lucia because I know Rick was involved with the government out there for many, many years since he left the bodybuilding field. So yeah, if you're on Facebook, please reach out to Rick Wayne and ask him to do an interview with me. Rick said he was going to do it and then he just kind of dropped out. So I haven't heard from him. So he still makes comments on sometimes on some of my posts. So I don't understand why he's not doing it. Maybe he's busy. But yeah, if you could reach out to Rick Wayne, that would be awesome. Danny Padilla is another guy I've been trying to get. I had Danny on the show once with his buddy Jim Raquel, and we talked about the 1981 Olympia. And Danny said he wanted to do the interview, and we were going to do an interview with Danny along with Roy Callender and Boyer Coe when we did that interview a couple months ago. But I didn't have Danny's email address, so I wasn't able to send him an invite by Skype. And I tried to get it from him before the interview, but by the time he got back to me, which is a couple days later, we had already done the interview. So I've been trying to reach him, and he hasn't been calling me back either. I'd also love to get Matt Mendenhall. Love to get Rory Liedelmeyer. So, yeah, if you guys are on social media and you see these guys on Instagram, I know Rory posts a lot on Instagram. Matt is on Facebook. Yeah, send him a message. Send him an email. And, of course, Tom Platz. I'm trying to get Tom Platz. I think Tom still works for Old School Labs like I do. And I just heard Fuad's show, and he said he might have Tom Platz on, which really pissed me off because I was like, man, I've been trying to get Tom Platz for years, And I even work with him at Old School Labs. So I hope he does the interview with me. And I know Tom was working on, I thought it was an ebook, but I think it's an audio book. And he's doing that with Old School Labs. And they were going to release it last year, but I think because of the COVID thing, for some reason, they decided not to release it, which I didn't really understand. But yeah, hopefully we can get all those guys on. That would be really awesome. Next week, we should have Jack Neary on. Jack was one of the best writers for Muscle Builder magazine, along with Rick Wayne. So I used to read Jack's articles when I was 14 years old, and I just started bodybuilding. So I was able to reach out to Jack, and we were supposed to interview him this week. So that should be up next week. And we also got John DeCola coming up, 1969 IFBB Mr. America winner. I've been trying to get him for a couple months, and we finally are supposed to talk to him this month too. So got a couple good interviews coming up, but I'd like to get a lot more people too. Who else did I reach out to? I reached out to Sven Ole Thorsen to talk about Arnold and about Sven's experience in bodybuilding, but he never got back to me. But he does comment again also on some of my posts on Facebook, so I'll just keep trying. But yeah, I'd love to get some really big names this year. We're going into our, wow, I think we've been doing this 3.5 years now. So we're going on almost into our fourth year on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. So I'd love to get some big names. There's still a lot of people we haven't talked to. All right. And I got another email here from Mike. He said, "Hey, John, I've been meaning to write to you for a while after becoming a big fan of the podcast and the work you do. I just heard you say that you didn't get any emails last week, and I kicked myself as I had started to write to you after enjoying the review of 1990 so much. I wanted to start by saying how much the Bodybuilding Legends podcast has meant to me during the lockdown here in England. We have had gyms closed for over half the last 11 months of the pandemic. It's been difficult at times when each day used to start walking through the door of the gym. There has been more time for reflection, and listening to you and your guests reminisce about the 80s and 90s bodybuilding scene is such a pleasure, and it takes me back to my teens and 20s. I got a gym membership for my 14th birthday, and I never lost the passion and love for the sport. Dave Prowse, who was Darth Vader and a weightlifting champion from England, he said, Dave Prowse came to my school when I was 8 years old as part of the National Road Safety Campaign. He was the Green Cross Code Man, and I was in awe of his giant and his superhuman proportions. From my first muscle and fitness, I became a big fan of Tom Platz, Lee Labrada, and Muhammad McAway. My father took me to seminars by Tom Platz, Sean Ray, Lee Haney, Robbie Robinson, and Victor Richards, held in obscure nightclubs around the country. I even wrote to and had replies from Joe Weider and Gladys Portuguese. Now having turned 50, I'm grateful for the foundation of health, discipline, and goal setting that bodybuilding has given me. In your interviews and discussions, you come across as a real gentleman, John. You listen to what your guests have to say, you give them time to respond, and you help keep the stories and history of a golden era alive. Thank you again, John. Stay safe. Best wishes, Mike." Wow, great email from Mike. Thank you very much, Mike. I feel bad for you guys in England, man, being shut down for all those months, and I guess you guys are still shut down. So that really sucks. I know it's terrible not to be able to train. I'd be going crazy myself. I was going crazy when I had that 6 weeks off after my hernia surgery. So you can imagine for months and months on end, that's got to be terrible. So I'm glad the podcast is giving you a little pleasure. And hopefully you guys will get back to normal pretty soon. All right. What else is going on? Oh, I've got my email. We got the podcast this week with Phil Williams and Tony Pearson. We also have that up on YouTube. And just so you guys know, I'm going through this little skin cancer thing under my right eye. So it just started off as this little thing that was like kind of bleeding. I went to the dermatologist. They did a biopsy, and it's basal cell skin cancer. So not a real serious. It's not as bad as melanoma, but they were going to do an operation and take it out. And then they decided to try this new cream, which I apply to the area like 5 days a week. And it's supposed to kind of get rid of the cancer itself because it's kind of superficial. So as a result, my face is really looking messed up. I have this huge scab under my right eye, so it looks horrible. And my interview I did with Phil Williams and Tony Pearson, I should have wore a Band-Aid over it, but I didn't. So if you guys are wondering what that is, that's what I'm going through right now. Got to do it for like another month, and then they're going to check it again. And if it didn't get rid of it, then I will have to have the surgery. So I'm going to be looking a little rough for the next month. So I've got a face for radio, but unfortunately we are on YouTube as well. So if you see that, that's what's going on with that. All right. And at the end of our interview today with Tony Pearson and Phil Williams, I'm going to read another article that was sent to us by our friend Pat Comer. And this is an article about Tony Pearson. It comes from the June 1979 issue of Muscular Development magazine. And it is titled, Mr. America Tony Pearson Reveals Training Secrets at a Seminar, written by Roger Metz. So I'm going to read that as soon as we get done with our interview with Tony Pearson and Phil Williams. All right, so without any further ado, here's our interview with Tony and Phil, where they talk about gym owner George Turner. You're going to love it. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have two very special guests with us this week. I have Mr. Tony Pearson, 1978 Mr. America, and one of the top pro bodybuilders in the IFBB for many years. And then I got Mr. Phil Williams joining us, 1985 NPC Nationals winner, and also the winner of the 1988 Chicago Pro Show. So welcome, guys, to the show.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So today we're going to talk about one of our favorite gym owners, Mr. George Turner, who owned Turner's Gym out in St. Louis, right, Phil?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And both of you guys kind of grew up training at George's Gym. And I know, Phil, we've had you on the show before where you told us some great George Turner stories. So I thought it'd be great to have both of you guys here on the show to talk about that. Hey, Tony, let's start with you. How old were you when you went to George Turner's Gym? I remember reading about it in your book.
I was 18. And my wrestling coach said, hey, you want to go to a real gym tonight? Because I was training at the weight room at school.
Okay.
I want to go to a real gym. So he takes me there, George Turner's Gym, never heard of the guy, in Clayton, Missouri. And it was brand new. It just opened like 3 weeks. It was, you know, the smell new.
Yeah.
And I trained for 3 hours and did all my body parts. I was really enjoying the moment, you know. And George, he was watching me. I didn't know that. He had this office with an intercom system. He was sitting there. And he's watching everybody.
With windows around, right? So he could see.
He come running out, running over to me. He goes, get in my office. What the fuck you doing? He goes, you can't train for 3 hours. So I go into his office. He goes, he slammed his fist on the table. I'm going to train you tomorrow. Be here at 6 p.m. Don't be late. That's how it all began.
You're 18 years old.
I was scared to death of George.
Yeah.
He was loud, he was in your face. He'll beat you up at any second.
Right. Was he a big guy back then, Tony? Was he a pretty muscular guy?
He was very muscular. Yeah. He was like 5'10"?
I would say about 5'10", Tony.
Yeah, about 5'10". Yeah. So he was, yeah. And he trained me. In the first day, he insults you, you know, day by day in front of the whole gym because he's so loud.
Yeah.
And he goes, first thing we're going to do, we're going to train those bird legs of yours. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 sets of 10 on squats, and I'm going to count the reps for you.
10 sets of 10, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Up to 400 pounds. Just went on for about 9 months.
Damn, unbelievable.
So that's how I grew my legs. I was wrestling, I blew my knee out, and I didn't have legs. Genetically, my dad didn't have legs. I didn't have legs. But when I left George Turner Gym, I had legs. When I got to California, my legs were bigger than my upper body.
Wow, no kidding.
Did some squat sessions. I couldn't get out of the car. Imagine on Friday, you got to go squat again, third session, one day recovery. Brutal.
And were you going heavy every workout, Tony?
Up to 400 pounds. He's right there counting.
Every workout, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Jeez. And there was no mirrors. You can't see it. So he said, look. There's a spot in the ceiling. Keep your eye on it. There's no squat racks. So if you fail, you're on the floor. I mean, it was just old school.
Yeah.
But I look back and I go, George had a plan. He built the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
He built the legs. And that was the key. So upper body, I had a small waist and, you know, good structure. I think he saw some potential somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me under his wings. But he was a mean dude, boy. Even the first time I was going to pose, he says, I'm going to put you in, after about 6-7 months, I'm going to put you in a contest after the weightlifting because it was all about powerlifting those days.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was like a joke.
Right.
So at the end of the weightlifting, they're going to put bodybuilders on stage for the Mr. St. Louis, Mr. Missouri. And I was so excited. Oh, my God. I'm going to be, you know, on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying. He said, pose for me. So I do one like this. It's, oh, fuck. My grandmother can pose better than that. Now the whole gym is watching. I mean, you're embarrassed. I got to teach this effing kid how to pose too. So that was the beginning of George. And I never said no. The thing about George, I think instinctively, you read my book, well, you never say no, or I can't, or you know what I mean? No excuses.
Yeah.
George tell you to do, just do it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you pass out, throw up, who cares?
Yeah.
So that helped me a lot when I got to LA, because Arnold, I think he saw the same thing.
All right, Phil, let's go over to you. When did you first meet George Turner? I know you were a youngster too, right?
Yes, sir. I was 17. I'm going to make a long story short.
Okay.
Okay. When I was 14, I met a kid I went to junior high school with, and he showed me pictures of his father. We had a show and tell. And I said, who's that? He goes, that's my dad. I said, that's not your father. He goes, oh, yes, it is. His father was a bodybuilder.
Okay.
Named Dave Washington. And he had competed in the Junior America with Borya Coe and Harold Poole.
Wow.
I can't remember what year that was, but I said, I had a history of being bullying. I mean, from the time I was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And I said, introduce me to your father. He goes, okay. He picks me up on some days. I'll let you know he's going to pick me up. So when his father picked him up, he said, Dad, my friend Phil wants to meet you. And I said, hey, man, I want to work out with you. Teach me how to work out. I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to be a bodybuilder so bad. And I bugged this guy for 6 months. I had his phone number. I'd go to his apartment. Most of the time I didn't catch him. He finally said, oh, Phil, you're still bugging me about working out? He goes, why do you want to work out? I said, I want to be a bodybuilder. I want to look like you. And he didn't believe me. He said, well, all right. He said, come down to the downtown YMCA. Meet me at this time. And I took the bus down there from my house in Kansas City, went down to the downtown YMCA. That was the only gym close to being a bodybuilding gym during that period.
Right.
And so he started, he goes, you showed up. He was disappointed that I showed up. Right? He goes, I didn't think you was going to come. I said, yeah, I'm here. I said, show me what to do. And he kind of put me on a basic routine. So I went down there. I took the bus down there 3 days a week. He told me when he worked out. I showed up when he did. And this went on for about a year and a half. By that time, I'm probably about 15 and a half, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. He goes, well, you're really improving. He goes, I didn't think you'd last this long. So from there, we kept training. I kept improving. By the time I was 17, I heard my first contest. It was a Mr. Missouri Valley. It was held at the same place, the downtown YMCA. You know where they used to put a light under the basketball hoop?
Right.
So, yeah, I went there, and I ended up taking, like, 13th place. They didn't have a teenage. It was the novice.
Oh, you're in here. Okay.
So he said, there's another show in 6 months. He goes, you can try it. It's the Mr. Missouri. That's in St. Louis. He goes, if you're serious, I'm going to compete in that show. He competed in the over 40. He goes, you can go with me. So I went continued to train, went to the Mr. Missouri in 1977 in St. Louis, and ended up taking second in the short class in the men's division, which,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you can imagine it was a poor show for a 17-year-old to take second. And I met George. He goes, I'm going to introduce you to this guy, the owner of the gym. This is George Turner. So I met George, and George says, hey, guy. It's just the way he talked. Grind his teeth when he talked, because his dentures used to. And Stoney will remember this. Hey, guy, hey. Shit. If you really want to fucking learn to work out, yeah, he goes,
got him down.
I fucking learned to work out. You got to come here. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So this is what I did. This is crazy. I competed in the show. Samir Benoot and Danny Padilla guest post.
Wow.
And Samir and I became friends at that show. I followed Samir all around and just bugged the shit out of him, right? And he finally said, here, kid, you can call me at home. He gave me his apartment number in Santa Monica.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, this is no joke. And from there, obviously, I went back home. And weeks later, about 2 or 3, 4 weeks later, This is what I used to do. This is crazy as it sounds. I don't know if kids would do this today. I used to get out of high school at 2:35. And I used to get in my car. I had a car back then. I had a job when I was 15. And my dad helped me get my first car. I used to drive to St. Louis from Kansas City, which is, I think, and you can look this up, I think it's 365 miles. I used to leave 2:35 on a Friday, drive to St. Louis, train at night, right? Sleep in my car, wake up Saturday morning, train, go back to my car and rest, train Saturday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to my car and sleep and wake up Sunday morning, work out. And after I finish that workout, I drive back to Kansas City, 365 miles to go to school on Monday morning.
Wow. That's crazy.
Does that make sense?
So you got four workouts over the weekend.
I did that in the wintertime.
Yeah.
I used to bring blankets in the car. I covered myself with blankets and sleep and in the snow.
Right, right.
And one of the guys that worked in the gym, he came out and he said, he knocked on the window. He goes, Phil, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm sleeping in my car. He goes, well, come in the gym. And that George, now this is the gym. This is not the Clayton gym. This is the South County gym in St. Louis. It was an old Kroger store. Mm-hmm. Now this was his show place. He used to sell equipment and manufacture it in the back of the gym. Right. He had two guys from the Ozarks who used to come in, and he paid them to work for him. They built his equipment, and they built equipment. George actually is one of the first manufacturers of equipment, and he had the same blueprint as Joe Gold, and I think it was Dan Howard in Fountain Valley, California at the time.
Hmm.
Their equipment, it was better than anything that they produce now.
Wow.
Much better.
Who was making
now is disappointing.
Who was making the equipment?
He had two guys from the Ozarks. They were welders.
Oh, okay. Okay.
George would design the equipment. He would ask guys, certain guys, what do you think? How does this feel? And then we kind of went from there, and he'd give them the blueprint, and they weren't bodybuilders at all. They didn't know how to work out. They didn't know anything.
Right.
They just manufactured the equipment, and he would put it on his showroom floor in South County. And people would come in if they wanted to buy equipment. It was like gym / show place.
Okay, gotcha.
If that makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I started going every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then a kid there said, hey, man, you want to work? I was a pretty big kid at 17.
Yeah.
This is another story. There was another guy I knew who was a pharmaceutical manufacturer, right? Not manufacturer, sales rep.
Okay.
And there was a gym in Kansas City I'd train at. It opened up in Shawnee Mission, Kansas. And then I'd go there and train there during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up to me. He goes, I want you to take three of these a day. I think I may have told you this story, John.
No, I don't remember.
I said, maybe I didn't. No. I said, what's this? I'm 17 years old.
Uh-huh.
I'm still 17. He goes, just take them and tell me what you think. It was Dianabol.
Yeah.
So he had me take three a day. I went from 154 to 194, 195 in about 3 months.
Wow, 40 pounds.
30 pounds. It was like, let's say 30 pounds. I remember exactly. It was 30 pounds.
Okay.
And my high school coach saw this happen because, of course, I'm still in high school. And he came up to me and he said, Williams, he said, come here, son. He said, come here. He pulled me over to the corner. He goes, I don't know what you're doing, son, but it can't be healthy. And all the kids were, you know, talking about how much size I'd gained in that short amount of time. I had no idea what it was at that time. I really didn't know what they were.
Yeah. Wow.
I just took the blue tablets.
Yeah.
So after high school, I moved to St. Louis and got a job with George.
Oh, okay.
That's where the fun begins. I hope I shortened that story.
Yeah.
I got there and hey, what are you saying? I said, I don't have a place to stay, George. He goes, well, you can stay at my house.
Oh.
I lived with George Turner for 6 months.
That's crazy.
6 months, and that's where the stories begin.
I was scared to death of this guy at the gym. No longer live with him.
So was I. Now, we can go from here. Living with George. Oh. And it's funny because my mom wanted to know what was going on with me. My mom was pretty liberal with me. I mean, thank God she was. She knew I was driving to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And she said, just give me a call once a day. Tell me where you are. And, you know, she didn't make a big deal of it.
Right.
My mom was real cool. I was, you know, I was an adopted child, so I didn't have any, my parents weren't my biological parents.
Yeah.
I was, they were, you know, they adopted me. So her and George had a conversation on the phone and I was there listening. And my mom told George, make a man out of him.
Oh.
Okay. And George said, I certainly will. So living with George, I mean, it was hanging out with George 24/7.
Oh,
I got to know his family, had a beautiful house in West County, St. Louis, Missouri. Beautiful house. He had a 911 Porsche Carrera back in the 70s.
Wow. No kidding.
And so we used to drive around. We did radio talk shows.
Hmm.
We went to, he had three gyms at that time.
Wow.
He had one in Clayton, which became, I think one became a powerlifting gym. I can't remember which it was. He had one in North St. Louis and he had one in South County, which is where we stayed. And it's funny because today, if you join a gym, I don't know if you noticed this, but if you join a gym today, you can go in. There's no one to show you how to use the equipment.
No. Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of on your own.
Yeah.
And you see people doing the stupidest things I've ever seen done.
Yeah.
Right? So if you join George's gym, the thing I liked about George and looking back is that when you came to the gym and joined, George would set you up for a 3-day-a-week, you know, kind of workout schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or just whatever it would have been. And he would show you, we would show them how to do it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice because you don't see people come in and abuse the equipment. If George ever saw you, if George set you up on a program, he came in and saw you doing something that wasn't on that program, he would ask you, he would kick you out. If you dropped a weight, George would kick you out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, Tony. George would kick you out if you didn't have the right workout apparel on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
George would kick you out if he was in a bad mood.
If you make it noise and making banging weights together.
Oh, if you bang weights or made noise or just whatever.
Because you got one more time.
He'd warn you first. He'd give you a warning. One warning, and he would throw you out.
Here's your money back.
He would write you a check. He would write you a check and give you your money back. That's no joke. I've watched George throw more people out than I could count with a calculator. And if you gave me any lip, it's a fist fight.
That's true. He would take you outside.
He'd take you outside.
He would take people outside and actually get.
Oh, no, and beat the shit out of them. No, they do not. And when the police would come, they trained at George's. So they were friends with him. Right. So we never got in trouble.
Right.
Unbelievable.
George had one misfortune. He going to throw this guy out, but he didn't know the guy was a karate expert.
Oh, you remember that story?
Yeah.
He got his ass kicked.
He got his ass whipped.
Really?
George took him outside. He got him beaten.
George got the shit beat out of him. Yes.
Wow, no shit.
I mean, go ahead, George, Tony.
He came back into his office, closed the door.
I mean, with George personally, I had a love-hate relationship with him. I loved the guy. I mean, truly loved the guy. If it wasn't for him, we may not be having this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm saying here, likewise. I mean, it was a love, hate, and fear relationship.
Exactly. And I was a bully kid that escaped bullying through bodybuilding, and I came back to the bully again, right. Which was kind of right. George.
Yeah.
I mean, but living in the house with George, this is a whole different story. You know, it's funny because he put me in one, he had a beautiful home, and he put me on the, I can't remember. I think it would have been, I don't remember what side of the house it was to give you like north, south or whatever, but his kids were on the opposite side with his family. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of in a wing by myself. And I used to sit on the edge of bed and thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? I really did. And we'd wake up in the morning, we'd go to the gym, I'd ride with him, and we'd work during the day, do this, do that. And I mean, during the day, you see George, depending on what mood he was in, if he got a phone call, right, that could change everything. I kid you not. And the funniest thing, we did radio shows. We put on
he was promoting a lot of shows,
seminars. Yeah, big promoter.
Yeah.
He put on the Mr. Missouri. He put on the Heart of America, which was a big show.
Heart of America, yeah.
Yeah. And, John, you might remember this. Mario Neves competed in his Heart of America and lost after he won the Junior Mr. America.
Oh, really? Who did he lose to?
A fellow by the name of Houston Ship.
Huh, okay.
I know Houston Ship.
Do you?
Yeah.
He lost to him.
Wow.
Houston Ship was training out of George's gym.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mario lost to him after he won the Junior America?
After he won the Junior America, he lost to him.
Wow. That had to be a blow.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Now, the only guy that came out of George's gym that was really a great bodybuilder was a kid named Cliff Coons.
Oh, yeah. I know Cliff. Yeah.
Remember Cliff?
Yeah.
He won his class in the Junior USA. Then he went to the Mr. America, and he lost to Ken Passarello.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That was in 81, I believe. The year Belk, was it Belknap won that?
Yeah, Belknap won in 81.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And me and Cliff were roommates. I ended up moving out of George's place. Cliff wanted to get an apartment because we started hanging out together. Oh, and we got this little rundown apartment in St. Louis.
Away from George.
Away from George. Exactly. Yeah.
Phil, what were you doing at George's gym? Just cleaning up and stuff? Or
We would clean in the gym. People that joined, I would take them through their workouts, show them how to use the equipment. Okay. And then on Friday, we clean guide rods. Do you know what that is?
With the machine?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he had this gym was enormous.
Wow.
Like I said, it was better than Gold's Gym in Venice at the time. It was better than anything I've ever seen. I'd love to have it today.
Yeah.
And so we clean guide rods with lubricant, wipe, spray. Mm. And he come and tested after, and he went into the hum.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I kid you not. He wanted it to hum.
Man. And you don't see gyms like that anymore.
Oh. You go to gyms nowadays, you're lucky to find something that works correctly.
Yeah.
I've joined a gym here. I won't say the name of it, just in case anyone sees this. And we came in. This is what? February?
Mm-hmm.
There's a leg extension I carry in. One of the best pieces they have, some old equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been down without a cable since, I want to say, July.
Wow.
And I said, is anybody ever going to fix this? He goes, oh, yeah, we got a guy who fixes our equipment. I said, when does he come? Like, once a year.
Once a year.
I complained about that a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And you use the equipment, and I don't know what happened to equipment. This is not off the subject, but I'm going to say this now. Even in Gold's in Venice, they have this line of equipment called Free Motion.
Yeah.
It's therapeutic. It's for like therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get an injury, then you go in and use cables for therapy.
Right.
I don't know what's happened to real hardcore bodybuilding equipment they used to make in that. You had Icarian, you had Flex.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s. In the 90s, it was good.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know what's happened, guys.
Yeah. Did they get
so disappointed when I go to, I have to join 4 or 5 gyms to get all the equipment that I need.
Right, right.
And at least in Venice, before we moved here in July, it was only one gym. We could take care of everything there.
Yeah.
I mean, I could take care of business there. And I hate to say this, even at my age and where I'm at, I'm still particular about the equipment I use.
Yeah, yeah. Did they ever get like a lot of famous bodybuilders from around the country? Did they come into George's gym just to train there or if they were in town?
Yeah, we had Dave Johns.
Okay.
We had Mike Mentzer come in. That's where I really learned how to train. And this is a funny story. I'm going to say, now that we say Mike Mentzer, Mike Mentzer came and did a seminar.
Okay.
And I have photos of this. And you can find photos here and there. He's got a George Turner's gym t-shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's doing curls. He's doing this. He's doing a seminar in a white outfit.
OK, I've seen those pictures. Yeah.
OK. You know what I'm talking about? I was at that seminar and I trained with Mike after that seminar. Mike stayed about an extra 10 days or so.
Hmm.
And George said, that's the brightest mother. This is what he said. And I'm going to show you. That's the brightest mother sucker I've ever met. He the coolest fucking guy. He's so smart. I said, George, what he's teaching us goes against everything you said. And he went, fuck. He goes, fuck. Hey, cops, I ain't the fuck that fuck. And he walked away. No, this is the truth. Because he was talking about high
heavy
intensity
duty
training 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And George had him 6 days a week.
Yeah.
So he's telling me what a genius he was and how smart he was. I said, but how come his training goes against everything that you say? And George thought about it and he snapped. He didn't talk to me for like a day and a half. I kid you not, guys. I kid you not. I mean, there's some crazy stories. There's another story where this power lifter came to South County. This guy, I don't know who this guy was. I couldn't remember his name. But this guy bench pressed like 600 pounds back then.
Yeah.
Or close to.
Yeah.
It was like 5+ on each side.
Yes.
And George walked over, seen him load up the bar and said, what are you doing? He goes, what do you think you're going to do with that? He goes, I'm going to bench it. And he had another guy with him. And George said, let me see. And the guy benched it. One rep, good and slow.
Yeah.
Good form, right?
Yeah.
And George looked at him. He goes, well, what do you think, George? He goes, we got arms like thumbs. I guess anybody could do that. So he insulted the guy. And he had some other guys. He had another guy that came out of there, Tommy Varga. He won the middleweight the year what's the guy's name that passed away with the huge legs? Huge legs back in 94.
Neil?
He died of a heroin overdose. This guy had legs equal to Platt's.
Was it
Paul DeMayo?
Paul DeMayo.
Yeah. And he won that year. And he trained at George's. I got to know Tommy pretty well. He was from outside of St. Louis. And those are the only two guys that really came out of there during that period of time that I was there.
Okay. Phil, didn't you tell me that George used to sit in his office, you know, with the glass enclosure, and he would watch people work out and he'd make fun of them on the microphone?
Oh, yeah. There was a guy that was hanging from a chin-in bar and he told him to look like a spider. I mean, if George was in the mood, depending on what mood he was in, he would just pick on everybody.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you, here's a funny story, and I'm trying to remember all the George Turner stories. He was doing squats once, right? And this is, he was coming back. You know, George competed in the 87 AAU Mr. USA.
Okay.
I think he did quite well. I mean, for his age, he was over. I can't remember what age George was, but I mean, he was well above 50.
Yeah.
And I think he took He placed in the top six or seventh.
Wow.
I can't remember exactly. We can look this up, and I forget to look this stuff up. But he said, hey, guys, come here. We're at the squat rack. He's facing it. There's the mirror. He said, I don't want – he told the gym this. Nobody walk behind me. I don't want to see anybody in the mirror while I squat. Right? So that means why he put the bar on his back and came back here, he didn't want to see you behind him. Right?
All right.
No, this is true. And he got the bar, came back, got set, and soon he threw, he was doing four or five reps. Some guy stuck his head, some idiot stuck his head, and George saw him in the mirror, and he walked it in and racked it, and he exploded. He threw the guy out, told him to never come back. This is a true story.
Oh God.
There's some crazy things. I'll tell you the craziest story. This is the craziest George story I have. His son, Matt, and I got to know his kids a little bit because I lived in the house with them. Mm-hmm. But it was funny because I never saw him. His daughter was a nice lady, nice girl. I mean, she wasn't a lady. She was they were all kids at the time.
Yeah.
His wife was very nice. And I mean, I remember sitting at the breakfast table with them, and if something wasn't right, he'd throw it at her. He hit her in the back of the head with a baked potato that wasn't done at dinner once.
Jeez. I know that story.
Oh, kid you not. Kid you not. He did it in restaurants.
Oh my God.
My story from the restaurant next door, the baked potato was not the way he wanted. She walks away, and he threw it and hit her in the back of the head.
Yes, he did. And he did the same thing with his wife.
No.
The food wasn't right. It was like a Frisbee, the plate.
Oh, you got to love George.
Yeah. And there's one time, before he started getting ready for the show, he said, I want you to help me. He said this to me. I want you to help me with my diet. Remind me not to eat anything that I shouldn't. I said, okay, George. I came down, got out of the shower in his house, came down the stairs. He's eating pancakes. I said, George, what about your diet? He went, fuck. He slammed it. And he took it and shoved it. Kid you not. The story I'm going to tell you now is the best story I have. This is the best Turner story there is. I mean, I've seen him beat up a guy for a parking space.
No.
I can't remember. Oh, no, I do. He did. The guy beat him to the parking space. And George says, hey, I was going to park there. He goes, well, I guess I beat you to it. He said, oh, I'll beat you. And George punched the shit out of him. Kid you not. This is the best story, though. This is the one that counts the most. His son, Matt, was probably he was in middle school, 12 or 13, and he was on the football field, and he passed out. And they found out, the ambulance came, took him to the hospital. We found out he had a heart condition, right? So this kid had to have open heart surgery. Now, here it goes. This is the good part. George comes in and tells us about it. And of course, he's super depressed, right? And George is crying, right? And we're sitting around and we're kind of going, oh shit, what do we say?
Yeah.
Myself, Cliff Coons, probably Jimmy Seeger, and maybe another guy or two. And remember the big guy, Joe?
Yes.
Tony, you remember Joe.
Joe, yes.
The big Italian guy.
Italian guy, right.
Oh, yeah. He was still there at that time.
Wow.
And so George tells us about his heart condition. He has to have open heart surgery, and we're real quiet. George is crying. And then suddenly, the next day or two, George becomes a born-again Christian. Oh, I'm not joking. And all of a sudden, we're having a prayer circle in the gym, right?
Holy
I kid you not, for Matt. And I don't know what to say to George. I'm living in the house and I'm around this the whole time. And I'm a kid. I don't know what to say. Right.
Right.
And George says, I don't want any more profanity in my gym. I said, we said, yes, sir. Yeah, we won't curse anymore, George. And I mean, he became, he was reading the Bible while he was in his desk, mm-hmm. in his office. And in the evenings, we had a prayer circle for Matt. This went on for about 6 weeks or so.
Wow.
Once Matt got the okay that he was going to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was passing away from this particular disorder,
mm-hmm.
George went right back to where he was. He goes, hey, cocksuckers, you should see Matt. He's fucking cocksucker. That motherfucker. He's a shit. This is my kid. My kid. Hey, he's well past it. I said, George, I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, what about the profanity? He goes, fuck that guy. What's wrong with you? It was business as usual right after that. I kid you not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and you went right back to the way he was before this incident happened.
Hey, Tony.
Go ahead.
Tony, did he ever encourage you when you started competing, when you started getting good?
Well, I only did two shows. I did the Mr. Missouri and the Mr. St. Louis.
And then you moved.
Placed six and a third.
Yeah.
And then that was it. And I,
okay.
Soon after that, I said, I'm going to go move to California.
Yeah.
And boy, did he let me have it. You read the book. He flipped out.
Yeah.
Yelling and screaming, slamming his fist on the dish. You're never going to make it out there. I'll never forget this line. There is kids 15 years old with arms bigger than yours. You will never make it.
I believe that.
I would never forget those words. I'm like looking at him like that.
I believe that. Yeah, George.
That's what he said.
Well, George would compliment you, Tony. He talked about you like he praised you because you weren't there to hear it.
Right.
He praised everybody that left. Ken Waller.
Right.
Praised Samir.
Dave
he
John.
Praised everybody that left.
Right. That left.
If right. you weren't there anymore.
Right.
But George would never say a kind word about you if you were in the gym, in that gym.
No, he never did say anything kind to me. No.
No. Never, and he won't. He said, oh, hey, I remember Tony Pearson. Fuck, guy. This was 1978. So you had already won the Mr. America. When you went to the Mr. America, I was there when you won.
Really?
I was there. And since, what was it, Columbus or Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. And guess who else was there? George, because I'm on stage. And I'm on stage, and I heard this voice.
You can hear him yell.
2 years later, Tony kicked her. Fuck. Asses. That's what I heard, and I go, George is here.
No, that was George was yelling his ass off. I hate to say that.
I heard that
he was, and I'm still a kid. I'm 78. I'm 18 years old. I'm just sitting there,
right?
Thinking, and Ron Tufel lost his mind. Of course, he was never the same after that.
No,
I hate to say that.
I didn't realize he was flipping out like that. It was such a state of shock that everybody was in. But I heard some noise next to me. I'm staring into space. He's making noise. Manu Perry's doing nothing over here.
Right.
I didn't know until later he really flipped out.
Oh, no, he really flipped out. Oh, I mean, truly flipped out.
I mean, right on stage, he lost it.
Yeah.
He lost his mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Those pictures,
he lost his mind, man. He was never the same after that.
He was never the same, no.
No, he died. You know, he died of alcoholism in, I can't remember what year it was, but
I think it's
in Chicago Pro. He was in the show with me.
Oh, wow.
We trained at the same gym in Florida.
Oh,
wow. Story. And he worked construction.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I mean, I remember seeing Ron Tufel in 78 when I went to the Teenage Mr. America at the Shrine Auditorium, right? In 78. I got my ass handed to me. But he was there and he had an entourage with him. Of course, Weider had him. Remember how much publicity he got through Joe Weider?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I know.
That's something else.
I know.
I thought this guy was a god.
He had an entourage. You're right.
He had an entourage that went everywhere he went.
Yes. He trained at Gold's Gym in the same year we were training for the America.
It was on 2nd Street. Remember it was on 2nd Street during that time?
Yeah, he's on the other side of the gym. I'm on this side of the gym. He had his entourage with him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Funny story. I went into the Gold's Gym on 2nd Street. It was next to the Pussycat Theater. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And I went in there, and you were doing donkey calf raises, and I saw you. There was some guy sitting on your hip.
Right.
And you were doing donkey calf raises, and I just watched. I was amazed. I was like 18 years old.
Right.
It was the first time I'd been out to California.
So you got to see the real Gold's Gym Santa Monica.
The real one, yeah. Yes. I remember seeing Manuel Perry.
Manuel Perry, Robbie Robinson.
Oh, everybody. Andreas Collin.
They're all in there.
Yes, sir.
Danny Padilla, you name it.
Yeah, man, we'll never have that again.
No, Luke Ferrigno, they're all
there. Everybody was in there, yeah.
Yeah.
That was an amazing time, man. What a time.
It was. You look back, and when you're living it, it didn't seem like anything. But now I look back and go, that was a special moment in time.
Never see that again, man.
Yeah.
Was that kind of a small gym, Phil?
It was. I don't think it was any probably more larger than 8,000 square foot, 6,000, yeah. 8,000 square foot.
So it was bigger than the original one in Venice, but it wasn't really.
It was. The original one in Venice is like probably about smaller. 4.5 to 5. Tony, you trained there?
I trained there for about 3 or 4 months before they closed the door.
Before they closed it.
But I got thrown out of there because I couldn't afford the membership.
Joe threw you out?
No. Was it Dan Howard?
Dan Howard. That's who had...
Manager.
Yeah. Dan Howard was a manager. You're right. Yeah. And George ended up getting the blueprints for their equipment. That's why his equipment was so great.
Okay, from Joe
Howard and Joe Gold.
Right.
He was manufacturing it. He got the copies and was manufacturing the equipment in the back of the gym. In the back of the gym, it was a manufacturing. They were making equipment back there, and he was selling it out of there.
Yeah. Right. Hmm. Yeah, so Dan Howard threw me out of the gym.
Dan Howard, yeah. Now, he had a gym in Fountain Valley.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
I think it was a world gym
Yeah, it was a world gym. Yeah.
It was a world gym. Wow, man.
Yes.
And I always wanted to train there. I'm thinking I'm going to go down there and train. I never made it there. I know I did make it there a couple of times, but it was for a photo shoot.
Okay. So I actually trained at the real Gold's Gym for a little bit. I had a few sessions in there. And that was about
it. Wow, that's something else.
I was training with Bill Pettis. Remember Bill Pettis with the big arms?
Oh, yeah. Big arms?
And he told me, do 50 sets of dips. 50 sets of dips. That's what he was telling me. 50 sets. I'm like, damn, 50 sets.
Bill, the last time I saw Bill, man, he looked so bad. I'm thinking, oh, man, I feel sorry for him.
Yeah,
I was very sorry. It was like years ago now. I don't know how many years, but yeah. He had a twin brother.
Yes, and his brother's still alive. Still,
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Hanging out on Venice Beach still. Yeah. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. The brother.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, when you were at that Gold's Gym, do you have any memories that stand out, you know, from the time you were there, the one in Santa Monica?
A lot of memories because, you know, Ken Sprague was the owner and a lot of tourists coming from all over the world.
They came from all over the world.
Because bodybuilding was so new at the time. They want to come in, and they would stand around in a circle watching you work out.
Inside the gym? They would come in?
Yes. This is like every day.
Yeah.
And Kent was selling T-shirts left and right, like 1,000 T-shirts.
Yeah, right.
You know, it was like a show, like a big show.
Yeah.
And I remember people come in, and Ken Sprague's come over to me and goes, drop your pants. So I dropped my pants, look at my legs, and I, what the hell, you know? Every day was something happening in there.
Yeah.
I remember training with Robbie, and the energy in that place was just amazing energy.
Get off the wall.
All the guys went to see Rocky One.
Yeah.
At the movie theater, 76, 77.
Yeah.
And all the guys, we go to the movie, and the next day, what did Kent do? He comes in, dun, 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 turn the music up, blasting every single day. And we're training like freaking beast.
Wow.
I mean, there is no limit. No, I didn't, you know, we didn't have any pain. It was just lifting heavy, hard, and fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Very intense.
What were you like, 20, 21 years old then, Tony?
Yeah, I was 21. And, yeah. You know,
yeah.
Putting on, piling on, who cares?
Right, right.
Step over your training party, get up, let's go.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, shit, I'm brag about, go ahead.
It was such an amazing time because the general public just didn't know anything about bodybuilding. They just thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes. They came from all over the world, Gold's Gym Santa Monica, to buy souvenirs, to mm-hmm. see the guys in person, because yeah. the only time you saw them is in a magazine. You get the magazine every 6 months.
Yeah.
There's no internet. There's no, you know, there's no, we're not on television that much at that time. No,
and there weren't that many gyms around, right?
No.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, Gold's Gym there was wasn't. Really the gym.
Yeah. It was the gym. George yeah. Turner had one, and then Steve Mihalik had one that I knew of.
Yeah, yes. New York, yeah.
Yes. But when you're talking about L.A., there was not any other gyms. No,
that was yeah, it.
Bill Pearl's gym, Gold's Gym, Vince's
Bill Pearl's,
gym.
Yes.
And then World's Gym came along later. So that was the main gym the whole world wanted to see, and they would fly in to do it, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I'm going to brag about Tony for a minute. I remember Tony won the Mr. America 21, and I'm thinking, shit, Casey won it at 19.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's crazy. There's no way anybody could do that.
Yeah.
Tony won it at 21.
Right.
Right, Tony?
Yeah, I was, 21.
That's, I mean, that, and then you win the Mr. Universe last month at 63,
yeah.
That's amazing, yeah, man. That keep that for that. How many decades does that cover?
Four decades.
I started in 74. So.
Oh, that's man, that's amazing. That respect.
I appreciate yeah. it. Thank you.
No, man, I looked up to you for that, man. That's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just telling John, that was for sure the last one because my body told me this is your last one.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, shit, man. How much more do you want to do?
You want to live.
How much more can you do? You lived, you won. You're the only guy I know. And correct me if I'm wrong, John, because you know history well. You're a better historian than I am. That's won in the AAU, the IFBB, the WBBG.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And NABBA. Right. And NABBA.
Too. NABBA, NABBA.
Yeah.
Is and there WABA. Another one that I'm missing?
And WABA.
Oh, and WABA.
Yeah. Right.
Who's done that, man?
I know. Nobody.
That's amazing, Tony.
And how many of these guys competing today are going to be competing at 63, 64, you know?
No, hell no. But what they're doing now, they won't make it. They're lucky to make it a decade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there. They're pushing the envelope.
Oh, they
pushing hard.
Without saying, they're pushing the envelope. That's amazing.
And it seems like it just goes with the territory. It's like if you want to be a bodybuilder now, it's like, okay, here's what you got to do. You know, and I think they all accept it, and they all just follow along, and they all do it, you know.
And I tell you what I see. I mean, I don't know if you guys see this, but I see guys coming in the gym from day one who are looking for steroids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But they hear about it from day one.
Yes.
I mean, they might be in there a month or so.
Right.
But, yeah.
They're looking already. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They've already heard that, you know.
Right. You know, I trained with George, and George never said one word about anything like that.
George and I talked about it briefly. And when he talked about it, it was the minimum.
Right.
And I lived in his house, of course.
Right.
So, I mean, the conversation came around. But it was the minimum.
Yeah.
Right.
It was all about the training, right? The main thing was the training, right?
And the diet and the training. Yeah. Oh, he was at a low carb. Oh.
Oh, low carb diet.
Diet for the low carb.
Yeah.
He put Cliff Coons on a diet. And I'm going to tell you this. Me and Cliff had the same apartment. I told you we shared an apartment together, right? I'm remembering all these stories. And Cliff used to walk. When he walked, he used to hold on to the wall like this. Like that, right? Because he was so exhausted and worn out. And George still had him working 40 hours a week and answered the phone on a low-carb diet. God. And he drained the shit out of him.
It's crazy when I hear these stories, because it's like, you know, I talked to some of the guys from New York, like Joey Folco and John DeFendis, and they were talking about Mihalik.
Oh, DeFendis has some stories, too, I bet. You know? Yeah.
But it was all about the extreme, I mean, overtraining for sure, but extremely hard training, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's,
I remember growing up in the 80s, and it was the same thing, that it was all about, I mean, you had to train hard, you know, it was a hardcore gym. You went in there and they didn't have any respect for you if you didn't train.
No,
hard,
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's true. That's true. I had a lot of training partners back in the day. I lost them all.
You go through them like shit through a goose.
I went through them.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure you did.
Yes, I did.
I bet you did. So have I.
The only one who was head-to-head, toe-to-toe is Robbie Robinson.
Yeah. Oh.
And he gave me respect. He said, you're the best one I've had.
Wow. Okay.
Toe-to-toe.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Rob is one mean son of a gun.
Oh, he is.
He's particular about form, technique, and timing.
I watched Robbie train for – I used to stand over in Gold's Gym. Remember he had one room when it moved to Venice?
Right.
Hampton and Sunset.
Oh, okay.
And you had one room. The first room was 20,000 square foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get in there and finish my workout, and Robbie would come, and I would go up the staircase where they had a few aerobic bikes were. And right. I'd watch him. I'd watch everything he did just to learn more and more and more and more.
And it was precision.
It was the only guy that I ever really learned from.
Yeah, but everything he did was precise and real precision.
Absolutely.
And he taught me well, because he goes, this is what he would do to you. He'd go, if I tell you to do 12, you do 12. If you stop, that means you owe me an extra rep.
Yeah.
And then he said your last rep better be like your first rep.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got about 35, 40 seconds between set.
Jeez, wow.
You got a lot of weight on that bar.
Yeah.
And we're not talking. There's nothing to talk about.
Right.
You drink water when we're done.
Right. You never spoke.
You don't talk.
No.
You just know it's your set.
Yeah. It's amazing. I see Robbie and Eve wore with the dark sunglasses then.
Yeah, so
this is when we're going back to the 80s, 70s, and 80s.
Yes, brutal, just brutal. I remember he was pulling 505 off the floor. It was a tiny little gym on Lincoln Boulevard, and he had 505 on the bar. He gets it halfway up, lost his balance a little bit, so he's holding the weight, half bent over. He takes a step forward and locks it. What the fuck? I was like, oh my God, this dude is brutal.
Yeah.
So I learned from the best. And then I didn't understand mental mind to muscle connection until I started training with Robbie. Because Joyce didn't talk about mind connection, just lift the fucking weight.
Right.
Robbie, I was standing next to Robbie and I was watching his face while he's curling or pressing, whatever he was doing. And I could see he was in another world.
He's another world. Yes, sir.
He was so in tune to what he was doing. And I go, oh, this is mental. That's when the mind kicked in for me.
Right.
But Joyce didn't talk about the mind. Just listen.
Oh, he didn't know. I don't think he knew that.
I don't think he knew that. But he knew how to count the reps, and you better do it. Do what he tells you to.
Right. It was brutal. Yeah, exactly.
But Robbie gave him this mind thing. I said, okay, he's so mental. Because I used to watch him before I trained with him. He would use light weights, moderate weights, heavy weights, and he kept changing it. And I go, what is he doing? You know, how can his arms get bigger with a light weight?
Mm-hmm.
And whilst training with him, I go, now I see.
Yeah.
He's so precise of everything he does. And mentally, he's so locked in. He walked through the gym every morning and speak to no one.
He wouldn't
talk. Robbie didn't talk to no one. He went straight to, because in his mind, he didn't work out before he got to the gym.
Right. I'm going to tell you a funny story. Got a second. Yeah. He walked past Bill Grant. I'm there with Samir and Bill Grant. I don't know if I told you this, Tony.
No.
He walked right by, and Bill said, hey, what's happening, brother? And Robbie didn't even look at him. He walked past Bill, and Bill went and grabbed him by the arm and said, hey, motherfucker, don't you ever ignore me like that again. And we laughed our ass off, and Robbie started laughing. His glasses off and said, I'm sorry, man, I didn't mean to do that. But, yeah, he was that focused.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how focused this guy was.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the late 70s, he was, I mean, Zane was winning, but Robbie was really neck to neck there.
Yeah.
I believe in the 70s.
The late 70s, from the mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
Because he had some really tough competitors.
Oh, sure.
He had the Mincer. He had Roy Callender. He had
Padilla at one point.
All those guys are really, really good. Boya Cole, really good bodybuilders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Robbie trained so hard.
Right.
Yeah. That's why he had to step it to the next level. To be
it's done. Funny.
Robbie won the first two nights of the champions, too.
Yes, yeah. Sir. 77 and 78.
Yeah.
Right.
The last I saw Robbie was right before he moved to Florida. I don't know if he's still there, but he used to go in the mornings. And I told my wife on the way to the gym, I said, I hope Robbie's there today because I'm not that motivated. I said, I want to see him. And when I see him, I'd have the best workouts because it just clicked. It's, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Respect Robbie Robinson, you know?
Yeah.
No, he's not that. You just see him and you go ahead and go.
That was it. Just to see him.
Workout done. Yeah.
Just to see him.
That's true. That's true.
And I never felt that way about anybody other than that I saw in the gym that I, you know, said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know, it knocked me back.
Right.
How often would the top guys pose in the gym? Would they just pose like when their show was coming up, or would they, you know, take their shirt off and pose every so often?
There was a lot of posing going on because we had the skylight in Santa Monica gym. There was a skylight, there was the bright sun coming in through the natural light.
Wow.
And that mirror.
Yeah.
So many people have pictures from this mirror and the sunlight.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of posing going on. Robbie was there, myself, Grant, Ken Waller. I mean, the list goes on. I can see it now. This guy's posing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. And then he would pose like 10 days out for sure, every day, half an hour, standing there posing.
Wow. No kidding.
So that was, yeah. And the place was packed with tourists, man, all over the place.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, the late 70s bodybuilding was just growing. It was so new.
Yeah.
It was, people just hungry for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great time. Like I said, if you're not in the magazine that month, who are you? So I couldn't go to the magazine, come out to see if I'm in.
Right. Yeah.
If you get a photo or just whatever,
right.
A mention or anything else. Exactly. And that's how you made money.
That's how you made money, right.
Because if they saw you on the cover of a magazine, you got on the cover of Weider magazine. Holy shit! You got some guest posings.
Right.
It was good business.
Yeah.
If you had that cover shot.
If you had an article in the magazine,
that's all it would take.
It's going to help. Yes.
And that's all it would take. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of posing going on. A lot of shenanigans going on in there.
Yeah.
Well, when you just think about today with the social media and stuff, it's like everybody just takes their pictures so they can put them on right away. But back then, it was just all hard training, and it was all focused.
Yeah.
They weren't concerned with taking pictures, you know?
No, it wasn't about taking pictures and, you know, no.
Nobody did that, of course, photographers.
We were doing the work. We were just training.
Yeah.
And we were enjoying it. We were training twice a day.
Yeah.
You know, we trained at 6 o'clock in the morning and about 5:30. I lived in Robbie's house for a while.
Hmm.
And we still didn't talk. You'll knock on the door.
That's amazing. You told me that story. I laughed my ass off. But
you're just not going to do it. Let's go. And that's all he would say. Me and Robert, all the time in this house, we never talked about anything of substance.
Yeah.
It was just training twice a day.
I remember you told me that. I laughed my ass off. And I said, what did you talk about? You said nothing. You never talked to me.
He's an introvert. He had nothing to say.
Right.
He would sit on the sofa between workouts. He'd nod off, watching TV a little bit. And then he'd go run the hills. He'd run 10 miles in the hills between workouts.
Wow.
Before he'd come back at 5 o'clock, knock on my door, let's go. So, three times a day.
Wow.
Wow.
Then we go down to Santa Monica. You know those stairs in Santa Monica?
Yes.
We eat bee pollen. You take a 100-pound barbell down there, put it on your back, walk down. No, you hold it like this, walking down the stairs. And then you put it on your back and you run up the top. So that was the cardio we was doing.
Wow.
And Robbie, we did that all the time.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Those stairs are very famous.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, when was the last time you guys saw George Turner?
Oh, I'll tell you. Oh, I forgot this story. You're going to love this one. I went back. I went to George in 87, the early part of 87.
Okay.
I talked to George, called him, see how he was doing. He goes, hey, where are you at? And I'm thinking, well, I'm not in California. I was in Michigan. I said, you know, I'd like to come back to your gym and train. He goes, oh, I got some work for you. Come on anytime. So I took me and my girlfriend during that time. We went, moved down to Turner's, and I was started training for the 87 Night of the Champions, right?
Okay.
I started training there, and George was pretty cool at first. And then he wanted me to work for him. And I said, okay, I will. I needed the money. And then he, once you start working for him, it's like he owns you. So towards the last 8 weeks, I said, George, I'm going to take some time off. I got to get ready for the show because it was too much. He was annoying me, right? And I got a job doing personal training in another gym across town. Someone told him that I was doing that. And all the shit hit the fan with that one, right? So he called me on the phone. He goes, hey, guy, hey, cocksucker. That's just what he called you. No, he did. And he goes, hey, I heard you're doing this and that, that gym. And so, da, 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 da. And I said, hey, George, I'm just doing it part-time. He goes, hey, cocksucker, you're supposed to come down here and work for me. I said, George, I don't have that much energy. I'm on a low-carb diet. I tried to bargain with him. Right? I said, you know, just let me get through the next 8 weeks. And we got into an argument on the phone. He goes, hey, motherfucker. I said, George, I'm not 17 years old anymore. I'm 27 now. I said, you don't talk to me that way. He goes, what are you going to do about it? I said, I'm going to come over there and we can discuss it. I got in my car. I'm on a low carb diet. All I saw was red. Right? I drove over to the gym. He's standing outside the gym. You know, like, excuse me. I said, oh boy. I said, we're going to get it on. I ran to the door and he walked inside the gym. And as soon as I grabbed the door to open it, he locked the door. I said, I punched the door. I punched the glass door like 3 or 4 times. And I called him every name, every four-letter word and 2-syllable word I could think of. And I could see fear in his eyes for a second. He goes, I'll call the police. And I said, you're... And I just walked away, man. I had to walk away. That was the last time we saw or spoke to each other.
Oh, damn. Oh, my God.
That's how our relationship ended.
Wow. I saw George, I think he had lost his gyms. He was out in California at a contest.
Yes, sir.
And I ran into George. He was not happy with me because he said I criticized him in the articles and stuff. I said, no, George, it's not true. I was praising you. I mean, he was tough, but it was good. It was a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we kind of ended. So, I mean, he wasn't really upset. But he just kind of mentioned that I, you know, was not nice to him in the articles. Mm. But I'm just telling the fact. This is what happened. This is how I trained.
Yeah.
So he had lost his gym. So I don't know what year that was, but I know he was in California.
How did he lose his gym?
IRS.
Yes.
Never paid taxes.
Right.
Taxes. Wow.
We used to see bills. We used to go in his office after he'd leave at the end of the day. And we saw bills stacked about a foot high on his desk that he never paid. He never paid taxes. They came in. They took all of his gyms. He lost his house. His wife divorced him. And, his kids took off.
Wow. Oh, shit.
And George died. Listen to this. When the last time I saw a picture of George, he was in a Missouri State government-funded convalescence center.
Oh, man. Mm.
And you see a picture of him kind of there, and there's a guy that was interviewing him.
Mm.
And so he died alone.
Wow. How old was he?
Sorry for him. 83, I believe.
Okay. Wow.
If you Google his name, John, George Turner's gym, and you look him up, gym owner, mm-hmm. you might find that photo.
Okay. Wow.
And that was it, man.
What year? What year did he die, do you know?
2000,
what would it be, 13?
13, yeah, right?
12, 13.
That's true, because there's the video of George in the bed in the hospital where he was living, and there was a video. Somebody actually posted the video of him. I saw the video.
Hmm. Right.
Yes. So that was had 2012, 2013.
2000, yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
I got to meet him a little bit when I was working for Iron Man magazine. I had a column every month, and I think he liked it because I would talk about training basic, you know, basic exercises, heavy, you know.
Right.
I remember he emailed me a few times, and he was mad at Steve Holman because Steve cut his article or something. You know, he would write articles for Iron Man, and Steve Holman, who was the editor-in-chief, I think he cut one of his articles or he edited it, you know. And he was talking about Steve used to have his picture in at the end of each article was he had his shirt off and he was posing, and he was like 40 years old. He goes, he's nothing for 40 years old. You should have saw me at 40 years old, you know.
I saw George compete, like I said, at the Mr. USA in 87, and he had to be damn near 60. And he didn't look bad.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, he looked quite good to place that. He looked, I'm thinking, shit, that's George. When I remember seeing the photo.
He used to write for Muscle and Fitness or Muscle Builder.
Well, let me tell you this. You're going to laugh. This is another story. When I went to the 78 Heart of America, Bob Hoffman showed up. I met Bob Hoffman, right? As a kid. Remember Bob Hoffman, right? Sure. Remember something?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay. Then Joe Weider was there. I met Joe Weider, and George said, hey, this is one of my next kids. He's going to be a great guy. He did this and that. And Joe was, you know, that, and we laughed and talked, and he was doing an article for George called the Training Pro. It was in the 70s or 78, the Something Pro.
Okay.
And something happened. I don't know what happened after that, but there was a point where they fell out. And George was Joe after that was a cocksucker and a motherfucker and everything else, right? Yeah. And they hated each other.
Wow.
George hated Joe Weider after that. The Pro, what was it called? Man, I used to have the magazines.
Pro Creator, was that it?
No, it wasn't the Pro Creator. It could have been the Pro Trainer or the Pro something. Okay. And it was in Muscle Builder. This is before it went to
Muscle Builder. Yeah, right.
Yeah. In the 70s, 77, maybe going into 78.
Yeah, I remember being a teenager, and everybody at that time, everybody around the country was training 6 days a week. You know, that was just standard thing. Sure. And George said something like, "Train 2 days, a day off, another day, and a day off." You know, it was like he had rest days in there.
Right.
And it was like, you know, chest and arms, legs, day off, shoulders and back, day off, something like that. And I remember I tried it when I was a kid, and it really worked. Like, I was recuperating so much better, you know. And that was one of the first articles I ever read, besides Mensur's. That was one of the first articles I ever read about, you know, taking more rest days and stuff.
I remember when I was in the 70s, I was still in high school, I got mononucleosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from overtraining because I was trying to wrestle and do bodybuilding at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I'd wrestle after high school, and then I'd go home, and then I'd take the bus or drive down to the YMCA downtown and train again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I realized after about 6 weeks of doing that, my nervous system just collapsed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, I met Mensur, and then we finally understood what it meant not to overtrain.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that. I thought, you know, more is better, of course.
Right. Everybody
in our heads at that time, especially when you're a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember George said, you know, train legs in between your two upper body days. I remember that was the one thing. And I've been sticking with that the rest of my life, you know. So he had some great articles in there. He made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, George was a good writer. He was knowledgeable. He, like I said, not the best trainer, of course. I didn't agree on him on a lot of things, especially when he had us doing squats 10 sets 3 days a week. There's no way you can do that.
No.
You end up in the hospital.
You imagine that now, Tony?
For a short time. I tried.
Somehow I survived 9 months nonstop.
God, 9 months. Can you imagine doing that now?
No.
I just give me a shotgun. I'll just put it in my mouth and blow my
head. Yeah. So when I got to LA, it was twice a week legs, and that was it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'll let you guys go. I appreciate you both coming on the show to talk about.
Hey, John, appreciate it. What a lovely been a conversation. Blast. Awesome. I love to go over the old days. There's nobody to talk to about the old days because there's nobody around for me to talk to about them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, right? So, I mean, most of these kids today don't know anything.
No.
I can talk to them about training, but I can't talk to them about – we can't have conversations like this.
Yeah.
We can't find the old timers. Where are they? You know, it's only –
slowly vanishing.
You got Robbie. You know, where are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're slowly disappearing on us.
Right. So –
I'm trying to talk to him on this show, but it's hard to get. A lot of guys don't want to talk about the old days, believe it or not.
Really? That's amazing to me. Yeah. I mean, I had a great time doing this.
I've been trying to get Rick Wayne on. You know, I've been talking to him on Facebook. And
can you reach him?
I did talk to him a little bit, and he goes, yeah, I'll do it. And now he won't even answer me. So I don't know. Maybe he changed his mind.
Oh, wow. Huh.
I mean, can you imagine the stories he would have?
Oh, you got more stories than Chinash tricks.
Yeah.
Ricky got some great stories. I can only imagine.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, he's been on Facebook a lot. People will talk about him. He'll answer. You know, he'll make comments on it and stuff. I just wish I could get on the show to do a big interview with him, you know.
Right. He's one of the original guys.
Yeah, he was around when Arnold was a teenager, you know.
Yeah, he gave me my first article. In Weider Magazine, my first article.
Wow.
I remember that, Phil. I remember that. That was when you won the USA, right? In 84?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story real quick, and I know you want to get off, John.
That's all right.
I was in Sweden in 83. I won the Mr. Europe. I was 22 years old, and they had the Swedish Grand Prix. This is 83, one of the first ones. Makawe won, Samirtik second.
Okay,
I remember the first top two. I don't remember the rest. But they said, hey, Bill Grant saw me. I knew Bill Grant from Gold's in Venice. And Bill Grant said, hey, man, how you doing? We saw each other. He goes, I said, what do you think I look like, Bill? I always ask these guys. And I posed for Bill. And he goes, I'm going to introduce you to Rick Wayne. He goes, I can get an article done on you. And I said, oh, cool, right? So I went to meet Bill. We waited for Rick. And for some reason, Rick had to leave Sweden. And it never happened.
Okay.
And that's the article that you saw when he said that whatever. I said, you're supposed to do an article on me. What happened to you? And we laughed about it later on, but he just disappeared. And I waited for him all day in a hotel.
Yeah.
In a hotel lobby.
Yeah.
Oh, God. To get an interview with Rick Wayne. So
that's how important it was to be in the magazines.
Oh, shit, man. That was everything back then.
Yeah.
And I'll say something else. I hate to say this too, but I will. If you look at I missed the magazines. Reason one is you had to earn the right to be featured.
Yeah, for sure.
Now everybody's a champion.
Yeah.
Through social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, to me, I mean, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah, it is. It's everything's different. Right. Now. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, making the magazines back then, that mean you made it, you know. If you ever made it,
really made it. That
was incredible. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I said. You wait every month, hope you're in the magazine.
Yeah.
Wait to get my hands on it.
Right.
Because everybody read them from cover to cover, and we'd all wait for them every month, right?
That's true. Sure. You read every article,
article, everything you could, and you read it again sometimes and again and again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Rick Wayne was the first guy that came over this Michael Jackson thing. I was doing an interview at the office, Weeders, and he looked at me and goes, you had a nose job and you look like Michael Jackson. I'm going to put it in the magazine. That's what he said.
Right.
So that's how we started.
You did well with that, man. You had to get more guest posings than damn near anybody during that time with that performance you had. I saw that in Sweden when you did that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was in Sweden competing. That's right.
Yes, sir. You did it, and people went nuts.
Yeah, so Rick Wayne.
yeah.
It was his idea.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Good one.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Well, we'll wrap it up here. And, again, thank you very much for coming on the show. I'd love to have you guys back on again if we ever think of another topic to talk about And so we got to talk about George Turner this time, but I'd love to have you guys back anytime because it's always a pleasure talking to you. And I grew up, of course, I told you guys this, reading about you guys when I was a kid. So this is really a pleasure beyond pleasure to talk to you guys again all these years later.
Okay. Can I plug my book?
Absolutely. Great book.
Absolutely. Do it.
Check out my book, Driven, on Amazon. Driven by Tony Pearson.
Yeah, it was a great book.
Great book. I read it myself. Beautiful book. Well written. Well written.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that one, Tony.
Thank you.
It took that will immortalize you. it will. In a sense, once you're gone, that book will still be around.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's it.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks to our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring this episode. Thanks also to our Patreon donors who are generously donating money each month to the show to keep us going. I appreciate all you guys. And if anyone is interested in becoming a Patreon donor, just go to our official website, bodybuildinglegendshow.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, you will see the link to become a Patreon donor yourself if you decide to do that. All right. All right. Without any further ado, I do want to read this article real quick from the July 1979 issue of Muscular Development magazine. It's called Mr. America, Tony Pearson Reveals Training Secrets at Seminar, written by Roger Metz. Says it's only natural when a man wins a top title that everyone wants to know the secrets that led up to his rise to the top. Thus, that is the reason for the tremendous popularity of physique seminars that have popped up around the country over the past few years, featuring the current top men in competition. In Southern California, which is the hotbed for competition, enthusiastic trainees pack the Ironman's gym in Oceanside, California for two seminars to learn the secrets from Tony Pearson, the current Mr. America. As a personality, Tony is an intense, introverted, goal-oriented young man, and he impresses everyone with his candor and directness by answering any and all questions. The following is a summary of the questions I asked him and the answers he gave. Tony is 21 years old. He stands 5'8" tall, and he weighs in the range of 180 to 185 in hard condition. He's originally from Normandy, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. He started his training there under the guidance of George Turner, of Turner's Gym before he migrated to Santa Monica and Gold's. He's been training only a little over 3 years, but as he puts it, his workouts are so intense that he immediately needs to take a nap afterwards. He usually trains early in the morning and his normal workouts last a little over an hour. During this time, the only rest he takes is while his training partner is doing a set. He has no set routine as such, but he does have a basic pattern of exercise, which consists of 4 days a week of a split routine of 2 days a week per body part for size when the contest is not in sight. The last 2 to 4 weeks before a contest, he steps up his training to 6 days a week for increased muscularity. As a rule, Tony does between 10 to 15 sets per body part, and it's usually split up among three to four sets per exercise. He sticks to around 12 repetitions for most body parts, but he goes as high as 30 to 40 on thigh work, which, as he relates, can be extremely painful but very effective for that ripped look. As to the style of training, Tony is ultra strict and he believes in getting full contraction and extension on every movement. He does his repetitions at a slow pace and he places a great deal of emphasis on the negative part of each movement and concentrates fully on every rep of every set, and he tenses the muscle throughout the movement. Obviously, a great deal of weight cannot be handled in this manner, but the intensity and the results are very high. Tony shuts everything out when he's training and he takes his workouts very seriously and the results speak for themselves. The only talking he does during his workout is to encourage his training partner. Tony tries to isolate each muscle group he trains and he never sacrifices form for more weight, but he only increases the poundages as he's able to do so in good style. On most of his training movements, he's constantly looking for ways to do them more strictly. On his upper body movements, such as curls, he places his feet together to prevent other muscle groups from assisting the arms. He favors free weights for the most part over machines. Tony's advice for beginners was to read all the magazine articles carefully to make sure they were reading a routine that builds size or one that puts up finishing touches on an already championship physique. He feels that most beginners overtrain and they would do better to train 4 days a week on a split routine in order to build size. There are no secrets other than hard work,
a belief in oneself, and the perseverance to stick to the training and diet month after month. Be patient. It takes longer than just 6 months to build a Mr. America physique. Don't rush the poundage, but increase only after you're able to do the movement for the required number of reps and sets in good style. As to diet, Tony is fortunate in that he has an excellent metabolism and he's able to stay cut on a well-balanced diet without restricting his carbohydrates a great deal. He did point out, however, that he does not overeat. He only watches his diet 2 to 4 weeks prior to a contest, and the last 2 weeks restricts himself to tuna and coffee diet. It certainly paid off for him at the time of the Mr. A contest. As for supplements, for the most part, he's on a well-rounded diet, and he doesn't put heavy emphasis on supplements as some trainees do. However, prior to a contest, he steps up his intake of B-complex, B12, B6, and desiccated liver for added energy. Since Tony's workout routine varies as the selection of exercises from workout to workout, he and his training partner demonstrated some of the exercises they most commonly use. Here are some of their favorites. Chest, bench presses with a variety of grips, but with a momentary pause at the chest with plenty of stretch and a full contraction at the top. Dumbbell flies, and again, the movement was slow and strict. Dips with body in a concave position with an extra effort to contract the chest at the top of the dip. For back, various forms of wide grip chins with an effort to hold the contraction for a second or two at the top of the bar. Bent over rows standing on a block and with the feet together to ensure a stricter movement. Various forms of lat pulls on a rowing machine with an extreme stretch and again a pause at the position of contraction. Thighs, squats with the heels elevated on a high block and with the legs together. Thigh extensions extremely strict with the hands held on top of the thighs and not on the sides of the thigh extension machine as usually done. Leg lunges were also favored and again in a smooth, strict fashion. Leg curls for the back of the thighs. Arms, a wide variety of barbell and dumbbell curls were performed, and a standard curl, Tony kept his legs together to prevent any body movement and would raise his elbows at the completion of the curl for further contraction. Also, preacher curls and bent over curls with a narrow grip were favored. For the triceps, a wide variety of tricep extensions were performed, all in the usual strict style, and several forms of ultra strict pushdowns on the lat machine followed up the extensions. Shoulders, Tony emphasized presses behind the neck as an excellent deltoid movement as it affected all three heads of the deltoids. He also did a wide variety of lateral movements in strict fashion. Calves. Tony worked his calves with a variety of calf raises utilizing the standing calf machine, the seated calf machine, and donkey raises with his workout partner. Abdominals. Although Tony's abdominals are his outstanding feature, he does no direct abdominal work but prefers to let his diet control them. Even though he won 3 national titles in 78, I believe that was the Junior America, the Junior USA, and then the Mr. America, Tony has not slacked off one bit in his training, and he has set his sights on the Mr. Universe title for 79. Though he already posed that evening, Tony graciously consented to pose again after the question and answer period. That night, Tony climaxed the successful All-Marine Physique Championships held at the Oceanside Community Center. On the posing platform, Tony is in his element and is a true showman. He goes through a posing routine uniquely his own, and he knows how to play to the reactions of the audience, the mark of a real pro. Just as the audience's applause died down, he immediately remounted the posing platform with his training partner, Charles Colson, and he went through a synchronized dual posing exhibition that brought down the house. He's definitely top rate. All right, so thanks to Pat Comer for sending us that article. Interesting how he did the dual posing routine at the end. As you know, Tony was very famous, or he became very successful competing in the couples posing competitions that started in the 80s. I think that was like the early 80s. And Tony, I think, won, I can't remember, I think it was like 5 or 6 pro championships in a row. And he usually had a different partner each time. Remember, he had Tina Plackinger, he had Shelley Gruwall, he had Carla Dunlap, I think he had Diana Dennis. He had several, I think it was every time he had a different partner, and he always won. So he was the magic man when it came to those mixed pairs posing routines. Very interesting article. And a lot of that stuff he said in our interview with Phil, he also emphasized there in that article. All right. So that is it for our show this week. You guys stay safe out there. I hope you're able to train and get your workouts in. And we should be back next week with an interview with Jack Neary on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Take care.